Okay, Nun Amud Bet. So it was a few days ago. Yesterday. It was Nun Aleph. So we're on Nun Amud Bet on the bottom all the way. There's two dots. I'm going to do a very short piece of a Gemara because right afterwards, stuff that's not going to be relevant for us. And we have plenty of sources to plow through in terms of the Iyun. So at the bottom of the Gemara, it says, about six lines up from the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shachach v'echnis ochlin letoch piv below bracha, misalkan letzad echad umevarech. Okay, so this is the first source. And this is an Amora. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Hey, Dad, come in. Rabbi Yehuda says, what happens if a person forgets to make a bracha, and he puts food in his mouth, and he doesn't make the bracha? So, option number one is, he moves it to one side of his mouth and makes a bracha. Okay, so he takes the candy that he got, the hard candy that he got, and he puts it onto his right cheek, and he makes the bracha. That's Rav Yehuda's statement. Tanya chada bolan, v'tanya idach poltan, v'tanya idach misalkan. Now, this is Rav Yehuda. But the problem is, Rav Yehuda's in the Gemara, there's three different braisas that say three other options. Rav Yehuda said you keep it in your mouth and you make the bracha. You just move it over. Yeah, on the bottom here. You just move it over and you make the bracha. But there's three different braisas that give three other options. The first braisa says, swallow it. Now, what does that mean in terms of the bracha?
It's enough.
No bracha. But for now. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're making things complicated. For now, there's no mention of any bracha. The second braisa says, spit it out. What does that mean for the bracha?
No bracha.
L'chora, you make the bracha when you put it back in, right? L'chora. Third one, misalkan. Right, what's misalkan? What's the difference between misalkan and poltan?
One's in your hand and the one's spit it. In the so, or something.
So, if we look quickly at Rashi, so Rashi says, poltan umavarech v'chozev v'ochlan. Poltan is a case where you spit it out and then you make a bracha and you re-eat it. What's misalkan then? What's l'salek?
Maybe
he's salek means to get rid of it. Salek means it's gone. It's gone. You're not going to eat it at all. You spit it out. You didn't make a bracha. Lost your chance. Get rid of it. So the Gemara says, what are we going to do? First of all, we have an internal contradiction between three different braisas. And then we have compounding that with the problem of Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't say any one of these three options. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. Ha detanya bolan bimashkin. V'hadetanya poltan b'midi de'lo mam'is. V'hadetanya misalkan b'midi de'mam'is. Let's cover the braisas first. Each one of the braitot can be described as talking about a different type of food. The first braita, which says that you should just swallow it, no bracha, just swallow it, that's talking about drinking, liquid, just swallow it. The second braita that's talking about, that says that you spit it out, make a bracha and then re-eat it. What's that talking about? Midi de lo mam is. What's midi de lo mam is? I have the best possible example. What's the best possible example, Mike? What kind of candy? Sure. Best possible example. Sweet. I have a better example.
Hard sweet.
But I have a specific candy. Not a specific candy like a brand. A lollipop. Lollipop's on a stick. Take it out of your mouth. You make the bracha. You put it back in. No fuss, no muss. Nothing. Nothing happened. Right? Assuming you make a bracha on a lollipop, which I assume. So, that's taking it out and put it back in. Then the third one, that you just take it out and get rid of it, that's talking about mimidi de mamis. That's a piece of food that once it's in your mouth, you chew on it a little bit, you take it out, you're not going to put it back in. Now, I can think of at least one question right off the bat over here. What's the difference between a drink and a food that's mamis? Why am I allowed to swallow the drink instead of spitting it out? But the food that gets disgusting once it's out of my mouth, I have to spit it out. Why can't I just swallow it? Or why don't I have to spit out the water?
It's a question how far in the liquid has come in your mouth and if you can still...
Are you saying you can't spit it out?
It's a matter of timing, maybe, or...
Okay.
It's also a thing of decency, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I would say. I would say spitting out a liquid, spasnished. There's no really good way to do that. Mm-hmm. spitting out something that's disgusting, you take a napkin, you go off to the side, whatever. I mean, surely we can find, you know, nice ways to spit out liquids also, but it's not as easy as spitting out some food. Okay.
Actually, so funny thing, not this Shabbos, last Shabbos. I think you were there, Mincha. And I was at KVA, and the chazan, someone was doing Birkat Kohanim. He had to spit out.
At Mincha?
Mincha, spit out. No, it wasn't Birkat Kohanim. Oh, an aliyah.
Oh.
In Mincha.
Kohen, I did notice that.
And he didn't know what to do.
Yes.
He spat it out into Uriel's hand.
Yes. I just spat it into someone else's hand. I did notice that. I wasn't sure what I was seeing. I was not sure. I was like, is he his child? But he was an adult man. And it wasn't a relation. I noticed that. You're right. I did notice that.
There was no tissue.
That's funny. I did notice that.
Keep a back of the future in the queue. Let me.
It's funny that you noticed that too. Amen. Good. So the question that we're going to ask is actually the question that the Gemara asks.
No, mommy, that wasn't disgusting.
Right. So here we have something nice over here. Where the Gemara actually asks something similar to what we just asked. So it's hafochba vafochba dechulaba. The Gemara says, "Bemidi de lo mamis nami lesalkinu." It's a different question, but it's similar. Something that's it's the same question. Something that gets disgusting, you should also something that does not get disgusting, you should also have to just get rid of it. Okay. So why shouldn't you have to spit out the lollipop? Let me say it again. Food that is not going to get disgusting, why don't you just leave it in your mouth and push it to the side? Like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says to do that. Mm-hmm. Like we said before, take the hard candy, put it to the right side of your mouth, make the bracha. What's the reason?
Full mouth needs
when you make a bracha, you should do it with your whole mouth. You shouldn't do it with only part of your mouth. Now, the only question that remains really actually over here is Rabbi Yehuda. What happened to Rabbi Yehuda? Mm-hmm. In what case do you do what Rabbi Yehuda says, which is to push it to the side of your mouth? In what case does that happen?
Soft food.
Is that the kind of food that gets disgusting?
That would be mamis.
I mean, you can't say, yeah.
But that, it says that you have to spit it out.
But Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that.
Oh. You're right. So Rav Yehuda doesn't seem to agree with that brayta. Okay, fine. Continue in the Gemara. Ba'al minei Rav Chista. Mi sha'achal v'shata v'lo beirech. Ma'u sh'yachzer v'yivarech. Okay, so this is... ignore everything we just saw. The Gemara has a different question. What happens if you actually ate food and you didn't make the bracha? You ate food or you drank and you didn't make the bracha. So should you go back and make a bracha? Who wants to explain what this question is? What's the actual matzias over here? What happened?
Someone ate without a bracha.
You ate? So is he finished eating? Is he finished eating?
No,
it's already eaten. It's gone. It's in his stomach.
Yeah. That part. I think it goes on further on. It's part of a...
So good. So he ate one thing. It's in his stomach now. And now what's the question?
Whether he needs to make a bracha on what he just ate.
What kind of bracha is this going to be? Bracha Rishon or bracha Achrona?
It's a
bracha
Achrona.
Is it a bracha Achrona?
No, this is actually a bracha before.
So you say it's a bracha Rishona.
Achrona.
Rishona after you eat the food.
Retroactive,
but it's going to be a shahako, let's say.
Yeah.
It's going to be a shahako. is that a strange question? Okay, why is it strange? I mean, you already ate the food.
It's in a way of saying, why are we saying the bracha? We're saying the bracha to ask Hashem in a way for permission to eat.
Right. So you've already eaten. You've already eaten.
I forgot to do that. Okay, but doesn't mean I can't still ask for permission in retrospect.
All right. So the Gemara, that seems to be the Gemara's question. Let's assume for that, just for simplicity's sake, you've already eaten the food, it's in your stomach, and now the Gemara is asking if you're going to make a bracha rishona. After we eat the food, we don't know anything about what you're going to do after make the bracha rishona. We don't know anything about that. So, mishachav v'shatav l'berech, ma'u sheyachzor v'yivarech. Amelu, by the way, strange lashon, sheyachzor, right? Because yachzor implies that you
late.
We already said a bracha, but okay, fine. Amar lehu. So this is a question that Rav Chista asked. So they said to him, who said to him, by the way? We don't know. So the student said to him, Amar lehu, Misha achal shum, barecho nodaf, yachzor v'yochal shum acher, kidei shehei recho nodaf? What, a person who ate garlic, and now his breath smells. Should he eat more garlic, so that his breath smells even worse?
Just to make a bracha.
So what's the Gemara asking? What are they responding? Rav Chisda said, you ate food without making a bracha. Should you make another bracha? Nobody look at Rashi, by the way. You know, should you make another bracha?
Ah,
should
you eat again?
You have to eat again in order to...
Trying to figure out if...
What's the mashal over here? How's the mashal connect to the nimshal?
We're trying to figure out if it's if what you've eaten is the end of it, like Mike's saying.
Okay.
Or if it's the beginning of it.
Explain, I don't know what you mean.
Garlic. So maybe you're having one piece of garlic as a flavoring for something, or you're going to have a piece of chicken, and you've had the first piece of chicken, and now you've got the rest of the chicken.
Let's be clear. The garlic here is a mashal. It's not... What he's saying is it's like you ate a piece of garlic... Forget the bracha. It's like you ate a piece of garlic and your breath stinks now. And then
now you're going
to
eat a
you have to decide, what am I going to do? So you decide you're going to eat another piece of garlic and make your breath smell even
so
worse.
So you're saying you didn't make a bracha.
Somehow that's connected to this.
So you didn't make a bracha before, like you should have done. That's bad.
Good.
Now you're making it worse.
By?
Making a bracha of a tala.
Oh, so you say, Meir, you say, and you didn't look at Rashi?
No.
All right. So Meir says, the problem over here is, what do you mean make another bracha? What do you mean make a bracha now? It's bad enough that you ate without making a bracha. Now you're going to make a bracha without eating, which means it's a bracha levatala. It's a bracha rishona that you're
Why
going to make.
Why do you interpret that you're not going to be eating? The mashal says you're going to be eating more garlic.
Okay.
So it suggests that, is the Gemara asking, do you have to eat more?
So you're
make
saying...
a bracha and eat more.
So you're saying that the students are responding to Rav Chisda, of course you should make a bracha now. You should make a bracha and eat more food.
Right.
You guys are saying the exact opposite things. Meir thinks that you should not make a bracha, and... You think that you should make a bracha and eat more food. Are there any other options?
No, you should put a squid in your mouth to take the taste away.
Okay.
Lollipop.
That's how to get rid of the garlic.
Peppermint or something, not lollipop.
But you see, these are two opposite viewpoints, both of them seemingly reasonable. Let's just read to the end of the Gemara before we go into the Rishonim.
Perspective on can you make a bracha Rishonim afterwards?
100%. So, neither of you think that you can make a bracha rishona without eating any food, correct? Neither of you think that. Because,
mm-hmm.
Meir, you say you can't make a bracha rishona assuming you're not going to eat any more food. And you say that you should make a bracha rishona and then eat more food. Nobody thinks that you should just make a bracha rishona and that's it.
You are going to eat a second amount of food.
That's what my dad is saying. So eat another piece of food.
So there's two options. I wasn't going to eat more, but now in order to say the bracha, I'm going to have a second bracha.
And that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it would be a good thing.
You think it would be an unmitigated good thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any room to say that would also be a bad thing?
If we take the mashal, then yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see.
I haven't looked at Rashi.
We'll look at Rashi soon enough. So the Gemara says, Amar Avina. Now Ravina is coming in to respond, it seems. Hilkach, therefore, afilu gamar siudato, yachzor v'yivarech. What does he suggest that you should do?
Wow.
He says,
even if you finish
therefore, even if you finished your meal, so you ate the entire meal without making a bracha, but you're sure you didn't make a bracha. It's not a safek case. You're sure you didn't make a bracha, and now you woke up and you realize, oh, I didn't make a bracha. Even if you're ready to go, you should say, oh shoot, I didn't make any bracha rishona. Quickly say a shahakal or a mizonos, eat some food, and then you're done. Okay? But don't leave without doing that. Titania, Taval Vala, Omer Baliota, Baruch Hashem Deshanu, and Sotav Zivanu, Al Hatvila. So he says his proof that you should make a bracha is the bracha that somebody makes when they go into the mikvah. When they come out, they make the bracha on the mikvah. What's the proof here?
Even after the event.
That the bracha is made not before over l'asiyatan like we usually do on mitzvot, but rather after, right? Now, we should go back and notice that Ravina didn't really say what I said. I tricked you. What did Ravina really say? Amar Ravina hilkach afilu gamar siudato yachzor vivarech. He doesn't say anything about eating anymore. He says, hilkach You're finished eating? Bracha Rishona? And that's it. Bracha Rishona. And how does he know that you can make a Bracha Rishona after eating?
Because of the mikvah.
Because you make a bracha on the mikvah after you come out of the mikvah. Now, who makes a bracha on the mikvah after they come out of the mikvah, by the way? Who does that? Well, do any of you guys ever make a bracha on going to the mikvah at all? Oh, so does anybody here ever make a bracha on going to the mikvah? No, I hope not. Right? Who does, though? You all know people who do. Our wives do, right, when they go to the mikvah. But, as my father pointed out, a ger does as well. And the Gemara says...
We make the bracha after?
It's a difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Sfardim, I think, make a bracha before, and Ashkenazim, dunk, make a bracha, then dunk again.
Or they do it in there.
What?
Or they do it when they're in the mikvah.
Well, that's usually dunk, bracha, dunk again. That's usually what they do. So the Gemara says, no, Ravina, your mashal... His mashal, not the shum one, not the garlic one, but the mashal, the analogy to tevila, it doesn't work. Why? Hata mikar gavra lo chazi, hacha mikar gavri chazi, v'ho v'edchi edchi. What's the difference?
The ger couldn't make it before.
The ger, presuming this is a ger, could not possibly make the bracha before he got into the mikvah. So there's no other option than to make it after. But here, you could have made the bracha before, you should have made the bracha before you ate the food. But now you missed your opportunity. You can't say to the ger, you can't make a bracha because you should have made it before you got into the mikvah. You can't say that because he can't make the bracha before he goes into the mikvah. The only time for him to make the bracha is after he gets into the mikvah. So that's when he makes it. But the bracha on food, you can make beforehand, and so you should. So you can't make it after.
But that's not his argument. His argument is that there are situations where you make a bracha afterwards. And it can work. Therefore, b'di'evet, in this situation, we should allow you to make the bracha.
So how does the Gemara understand differently that Ravina's proof falls apart, apparently? You're misunderstanding the way that the bracha by the goy works, by the ger. It's nitkan. It's established that this is the only way that you can make this bracha. They want him to make the bracha, so they establish that it should be after. But in no other case do they ever do that. It's yotze min haklal. There's no other case like that. This is the only case where it could be like that. It's not really the only case. There are other cases. What other cases is there?
Shabbat candles.
Netilat Yadayim is the closest to this, right? Netilat Yadayim, but it's actually a little bit complicated. Netilat Yadayim. When do we make that? This is important. When do we make a bracha Netilat Yadayim?
Before we dry.
After you wash and before you dry. In which case, as we're going to see, some say that the drying is part of the mitzvah. So it's still over Lasiatan. Even though over Lasiatan is really supposed to be before, but at least you're still involved in the mitzvah as you're doing it. You're really supposed to do it before. But in that case, like you said, you can't make the bracha beforehand because your hands are dirty. So you shouldn't make the bracha beforehand.
Shabbat candles, Ashkenazim.
Shabbat candles, the women make it after they light. Yeah. So that's a complicated factor.
You do, but the fact is you have already done the act.
How long have you got?
Because otherwise you've already brought in shabbat.
How long have you got to say the good
example?
After you eat, according to Ravina, you mean?
First, you
still get nourishment and enjoy that from the
food.
Rabbi, that's why.
It's a good question. I don't know.
The opinion that came in was, I don't know if it's about Ravina, but the whole idea about it is not necessarily when you get Hanoi, but the body is still getting Hanoi.
That's true for Bracha Yachrona. That's true for Bracha. Bracha Rishona is supposed to be made before you eat the food. So we presume that the rules for Bracha Rishona have nothing to do with the rules for Bracha Achrona. Bracha Achrona is you're saying thank you. So you say thank you as long as you're still full. Bracha Rishona is supposed to be made before you eat the food. We're talking here about a Bracha Rishona, according to Ravina, that you're making after you eat food because you forgot to make it beforehand. It's a whole chiddush. I don't know what the rules of that should be.
When I like candles, I say the bracha first, and then I light.
No. Well, I mean, you don't have a minhag because you're a man, but usually Ashkenazim light and then make the bracha. Well, that's why they close their eyes like that.
Yeah.
Except on Yantif,
right.
But that's according to my Yom Kippur story. Yom Kippur story is that as a question, how can we say on Leil Konipre, Mochel Avonot?
Yeah, it hasn't started.
It just started. Right. So the Mashal is a child who asks for an apple.
Yeah.
And the father brings an apple, but he doesn't let the boy take it. He puts it on his back and so on. So the boy has a great idea.
He makes a bracha.
He starts saying, so the father has no choice. So that's why we already on Kol Nidre say, Mochel
Yisodea. We don't want it to be a bracha levatala. Hashem doesn't want it to be a bracha levatala. Motzi Shamayim levatala. Very good. Okay. So, because it's not going to be nogea to what we're going to be learning, I do want to see the Tosfos on the top before we jump into the actual Iyun that we're going to do. Tosfos on the top left, Nikara Gavra Lo Chazi, just on the last point that we made. So what the Metzias of this case is actually a Machlokas Rishonim. Tosfos says, Tema, V'halo Tame Eino Asur Levarech. What is Tosfos assuming over here? Tosfos says, Nikara Gavra Lo Chazi. The Gemara says, the person has to make the Asher Kedeshanim Tutav Zivano Ala Tefillah after he gets out of the mikvah. Why? Because beforehand, he's lo chazi. And then Tosfos asks a question. He says, but I don't understand. Just because you're tamei doesn't mean you can't make a bracha. That's a whole sugya earlier that we had in the Gemara. What's Tosfos talking about tumah for?
He's not Jewish.
What's he talking about?
He's not Jewish.
So obviously, what's he talking about? He's talking about a different kind of case where you go to the mikveh. He's not talking. Tosfos does not read the Gemara. He's talking about a goy or a ger. He's talking about a man who is tamei, balkari, or whatever it is, and he needs to become tahor, which we used to make the bracha on. We used to make a bracha on the tefillah, mitzvah tefillah, when we went to the mikvah, just like we do on tefillahs kelim. We don't anymore, because we never really become tahor. But when we used to become really tahor, we used to make a bracha on it. So, but even in those cases, the bracha was nitkan to be said afterwards. But Tosfos says, why would it be after? Why can't you make a bracha before you go into the mikvah? Who said you can't make a bracha on tefillah before going to the mikvah? But v'kuntras pirish the ba'alei keri and asur b'divrei Torah. So Rashi is going according to what daf was it? I don't remember. Where the Kana of Ezra, the what?
Rashi.
Well, Kuntras. He's quoting Kuntras. Kuntras is Rashi. Rashi is going according to Takanas Ezra that you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah or make brachot or tefillah. Although actually that's a leap right there. The Gemara is clear that you can't say Divrei Torah when you're tameh, but it's not clear that you can't daven. It's not clear at all, and it's not clear that you can't make brachos. That's the least clear. Ramban says you can. Either way, nowadays we do. But
I mean, wasn't that machlokus way back?
That's right. That was Takanat Ezra. That's right. Takanat Ezra was that a Baal Keri should not learn Torah or Davin, but it was rescinded. According to everybody, it was rescinded. However, the Shulchan Aruch says it's a nice thing to do. You should go to the mikveh every day. That's why the Hasidim still do it. The Rambam apparently did it as well. And that's what Rashi seems to be assuming. Rashi seems to be assuming that this Gemara is going according to the way back when a man going to the mikveh couldn't make the bracha before he went into the mikveh because he was tameh. He couldn't make any brachas because he was tameh. So, because you spirit the Baalei Keri and Asur B'divrei Torah. But Tosfos says, V'yesh Lomar, it's talking about tefillas geirim. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And lest you ask me now, you should all be thinking in your mind, okay, wait a second. What about the women? Why don't all women make the bracha on tefillah before they go into the mikvah? What's stopping them? Why can't a woman make the bracha on tefillah? Ashkenazi woman, why can't she make the bracha on tefillah before she goes in? So this Tosfos is the answer. This Tosfos says, because Mayur b'tefillah is gerim, they ota tefillah, tzitzrichu l'chol shara tefillah, davarich l'achar tefillah. Because of tefillah's gerim, the bracha was nitkan for all tefillot, according to Tosfos, after going into the mikvah.
Why?
Because of tefillah's gerim.
I just didn't get this Tosfos.
Make your knee.
But like you're going to go
no,
back.
No, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not to make differences.
It's not like a fence. You're not going to go back to be a gerim.
Perhaps because the original tefillah was tefillah's gerim, and so that's somehow more powerful. I don't have a great answer. And he says it's not only tefillah. Not only tefillah. V'chein benetilat yadayim. Why can't we make the bracha netilat yadayim before we wash our hands? What's stopping us? Shepamim Adam ba mibeit akise ve'en Adam ba'u levarich ad la'achar netila nagvam levarich kol shar brachat yadayim la'achar netila. So he does give a ta'am. He says it could be that your hands really are dirty and you really can't make a bracha, but ultimately that wouldn't stop us from making other brachas anyways. But so this Tosfos tells you why we make al tefillat Ala Tvila after, and Ala Tvila Tadayim after. Okay? All right.
Also
now let's jump
the
in.
The Tvila itself is a chelik of the Tihur. Couldn't you say that? And that's why you are not clean to say the bracha.
Well, in Achenami, but technically, you are clean enough. We don't hold that you have that there's a problem with making a bracha when you're tameh. We don't follow that position anymore. So you should really be able to. Unless, you know, maybe you say lechatchila, the bracha was nitkan lechatchila. Like the Rambam said, like, even though we don't hold Takanas Ezra anymore, nevertheless, Chazal, we're metake in the bracha that way. So everybody had two different pages?
You have two, Mark.
Two different pages.
No. You have two different pages? You have two ends? We don't have more. Okay, you can share. You can share. Okay. So, before you look at the sheet, take a look at Rashi on the top right, although Meir already spoiled it for us. If you look at Rashi on the top right, Rashi says, in the third Rashi, Mishalcha v'shata v'lo berech lifnehem kai. We're talking about the bracha rishona, abirchat hamotzi ubirchat hayayin. Talking about, let's say you had a piece of bread and you didn't say hamotzi yet, or you had some wine, you didn't say hagafen. Ma'u shiachzer la'achar achila v'shtia. What? How do, should you go back and do it again? I'm reading the wrong Rashi. Second Rashi. Yachzor v'yochal shum acher. This is on the mashal. Right? Should you go back and eat more garlic? Rashi says, "Kedeshi asriach yoter." You're going to smell even worse. Klomar yosif asir chono v'yase bracha levatala. According to Rashi, as Meir pointed out, the mashal really is that you should not go back and make a bracha. Why? Because you've been making a bracha levatala. We're not even talking about making a bracha and eating more. It's just talking about whether or not you should go back and make a bracha by itself. And he says, "Of course not, because that would be a bracha levatala." Why does Rashi say this? Why is that Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, as opposed to my father-in-law's, to me, much more reasonable explanation of how to read the Mashal, which is, it's telling you, yes, you should go back and make a bracha and eat more food. Why does Rashi say this?
Because it's a strange example.
What's the strange example?
Like, you're taking an extreme, right? You're taking something that you wouldn't ordinarily go back and eat more.
Right, but... Okay, but by not, the mashal seems to be that by not making a bracha, you're eating more garlic. That's the mashal.
Right.
Right.
But if it wasn't a mashal, why is garlic? Yeah,
okay.
It's something negative.
I would have said maybe it's a maisa also. It's like the act. It's like you're doing something.
This smelling from the garlic is right. Considered negative. It's not the positive that you should eat
right.
more garlic
right. I hear you.
After saying a bracha.
Right. Right.
It
I hear you.
It also depends on the permission thing. If the whole point of the bracha is whether you're going to be then empowered to be able to make the bracha, to take it from the Hashem, like that now it belongs to you. If that moment's already passed, then there's no point you going to have more of it.
But what do you... Okay, fine. You're right. And that's the mashal. But the question is, why doesn't Rashi say, okay, so what should you do? You should make a bracha and then eat more food. Like, why not?
Isn't it? It's not saying that in terms of garlic. Isn't it saying that exactly the opposite? The pshat is that you wouldn't necessarily, if you were eating garlic, you don't want to have another piece. So you know, by saying a bracha and saying I have to eat more, you would say the bracha and don't eat more.
I don't think, and it would be hard to understand why somebody would say not to do that. It's not a bad thing to do.
I don't say if you make the bracha, if you make the bracha and then you eat something afterwards, you've only done one thing bad. According to the mashal, you've done two things bad.
Well, Rashi is saying you're just going to make the bracha and that's it. You weren't going to eat.
Right. So that's why, because Rashi's then saying you've done two things bad. You made the first thing that bracha. But if you understood it as saying,
but my father-in-law is saying that the mashal is telling you how to fix it. That you can fix it. You can fix it by eating by making a bracha and then eating more.
But they phrase it in a question. They say, if you've already eaten garlic, why would you have more garlic?
Right, I hear what you're saying. Okay, so in order to understand this Rashi a little bit better, well, you guys are giving explanations for Rashi, but take a look at this. The Maharsha says, no, this whole thing is just a big mistake. Perish Rashi, Taot Nafal by Perish Rashi. There's a mistake over here. A mistake crept in. By Meshe Perish V'yaseh Bracha Levatala. Deim kavanas Rav Chista de lo yachzor bivarich. My kamar ala Ravina hilkach. Afilu gamar. Gam ena mashal doma l'nimshal. So Marshak claims that it's all a mistake in Rashi, because if you read Rashi this way, then Ravina doesn't make any sense. Let's hold off on that for a second. Aval kanamad is Rav Chista. Rav Chista is the one who's asking the question. The yachzor v'yavarich im lo gamar le'echol. Rav Chista the whole time is talking about, you're in the middle of the meal. Rav Chista was asking the following question. You're in the middle of a meal. You've already started eating. You're going to continue eating. Should you now pause in the middle and make a bracha and then continue eating? Or should you continue eating? Now, what Rav Chista is asking is, should you continue eating without the bracha? You missed your chance. Just continue eating. There's no more bracha anymore to be made. Or should you make a bracha and then continue eating? And then, as my father-in-law pointed out, the answer is, well, if you ate some garlic, should you eat more garlic? It's bad enough you already started eating without making a bracha. Now you're going to continue eating without making a bracha? That's when the Maharsha reads the Gemara. And he says, that makes sense. And it does, doesn't it? With the mashal.
Well, even without a mashal, it makes sense. I mean, just without even using that mashal, it makes sense.
Of course.
Keep eating, why would you not
of course,
make a bracha?
But we need to read the mashal, right? In order to understand the context, let me clarify. The way that we're reading it according to Rashi, the safest way to read it according to Rashi is that we're talking about a case where a person has finished eating and is now asking if he should now make a bracha, Rishona, without eating anymore. And the answer to that is no, that would be ridiculous. It's like eating garlic and then compounding the problem by eating more garlic, i.e. making a bracha levatala, for no reason at all. The Maharsha says, that doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody think to do that? And it doesn't really fit with the garlic mashal, because it sounds like you're doing the same thing again. But according to Rashi, you're not doing the same thing again. You're doing a different problem. So the Maharsha says, no, we're talking about a case where you're eating and you're going to eat more. And Rav Chista is asking, did you miss your chance to do a bracha? Or did you not miss your chance to do a bracha?
There's something about garlic and the fact that it's making your breath smell.
Yeah, it's garlic is eating food without making a bracha. That's what you're doing. And then if you continue to eat without being a bracha, it's like you're eating more garlic.
It's like the mushroom.
Maybe there's a
but I'm saying, isn't it like a pshat?
The smell why would I want?
I've said, I've eaten now, and I've made my breath smell. Would I eat a second piece of that just in order to say a bracha? No.
No, you're eating garlic, and you realize, oh, my breath stinks. Oh, well, I'm eating another piece of garlic.
That's the mushroom. I'm trying to go away from the mushroom.
So now the nimshal is, oh, I ate food without making a bracha. Oh, well, let me eat some more food without making a bracha.
You wouldn't do that if it was garlic.
But that's the point. Yeah, you would not do that. So why would you do that here? That's the point. Of course you wouldn't do that. That would
maybe
be stupid.
There's a suggestion that because you ate food without a bracha, even though you were intending to eat more food going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe you now should almost be punishing yourself by not eating any more food going forward.
No, you are going to eat more food, and the question is, did you miss your chance to make the bracha, or no? Did you not miss your chance, and you should make a bracha now? So he says, "Ki mishum shelo birech kfar al shachal sheshachach yosif al sirchanu shelo yivarech al mashiyochal od." You're not going to make a new bracha on this. V'alak hamar Ravina shapir hilkachanatz. Ravina says, "Yachzor v'yivarech." He says, "Of course you should make a bracha, and then continue eating." Right? That's how the Maharsha reads the Gemara, and he says, "Rashi, it's a mistake. This whole bracha levatala business is a mistake. Somebody wrote that in Rashi, and it doesn't belong." That's how the Maharsha deals with Rashi. He doesn't like what Rashi says. The Pnei Yoshua deals with the Maharsha. So Pnei Yoshua first quotes Rashi, then he quotes the Maharsha. Put that in the dot, dot, dot. And then he says, El de Be'emet, Afilu b'lo perish Rashi, Mashal zeder of Chista Tamua. I don't understand the whole Maharsha. L'fi Masha Pirish Maharsha, Da'at Kama Sheyachzor V'yochal, Shum, Hainu B'mashi Yachzor V'yochal B'lo Bracha. And Cain, Mashma Da'afilu B'kai Gavna, Sherotza L'achal Od, Nami Havi Misapka Lehu, Meikara, v'ze in all that klal sheyitu atalmidim adavar pashut kaze. The mehechi teiti yachzor v'yochal achila acheret lo brechat hanen in tchila. V'sof datu brechat hanen in talia b'tchila tasuta. The Pirushu says, I don't understand the Maharsha. Maharsha, you don't like Rashi's maskana. I don't understand your havamina. Why would Rav Chista ever think that you would continue to eat food without making a bracha. Mm-hmm. Very good. You didn't make a bracha at the beginning. What kind of question is that? Of course you're going to make a bracha. Of course you're going to make a bracha if you're going to eat more food. Why would you not? How could you think that you wouldn't? Remember I asked you guys before, is there a possibility that it's a bad idea to make bracha and then eat more food? Remember I asked you that? Nobody thought so, right? Nobody thought that would be a problem. I repeat. Remember I asked before, is there anything wrong with making a bracha and then eating more? That's the solution.
I'm trying to say with the garlic issue, that you don't want to eat more. So to say now, to say a
said.
Bracha to eat more,
why would you want to say? Good, so the Pnei Yeshua says, you're finished eating. You don't want to eat anymore. Should you make...
If you're forced to eat something that you don't really want to eat...
You're full.
Then you're making a bracha levatala.
Oh, and then you're going to eat, though. So in other words, you finished your meal, and then you realize, I didn't make a bracha rishona. Fine. Take another donut, make a mezonot, and now eat. So the Pnei Yehoshua says, maybe that's a bracha levatala.
Or you're not full, you just don't want another piece of garlic, because it makes you feel even more terrible.
Yeah, and he says, that's the garlic mushroom. So he's saying, that's a problem. You can't do that. Okay, so we'll stop over there because I don't want to get into the other half of the Pnei Yehoshua. So you see, there are three different ways of reading this Gemara between these Rishonim and Acharonim alone. Rashi says that you're going to make a bracha levatala by itself. You're not even going to eat afterwards. You're just going to make a bracha Rishonim l'shem shamayim. Right? That's the question. And the student said, no, that's crazy, that's ridiculous, you're not going to do that. Now, how we're going to read Ravina is going to be a problem. And the Maharsha says... No. You were in the middle of eating, and the question was, should you continue eating without making a bracha, or should you make a bracha before you continue eating? And then the answer was, of course you should make a bracha before you continue eating. Just because you ate once without making a bracha doesn't mean you should continue to eating without making a bracha. And the Pnei Yehoshua says, no, let's go back to Rashi and the whole bracha levatala business. I'm going to fix Rashi. I'm going to resuscitate Rashi. What Rashi is talking about is that you are going to eat again. You are going to make a bracha and eat again. It's not going to be a lone bracha, a bracha rishona without any food afterwards. The problem is that the food that you eat afterwards,
you don't really feel it.
You don't want it. And so in that sense, it's a disrespectful bracha. It's a bracha levatala. There's a machlokas achronim about the way that we should conduct ourselves on Shavuos night. Some people say it's important to eat milchik because it's minhag. Some people say it's important to eat fleishik because it's yom tov. So some people fix the whole thing by eating milchik and then fleishik on the same night. And, well, how do they do that, though? You can't eat during the same meal. So they say berkat hamazon. And then, again, say a bracha in order to continue eating. Right? So the Taz says, flag on the play, green card, red card, yellow card, whatever, all the cards. You can't do that because it's a bracha levatala. You're only making a bracha so that you can eat, so you can make another bracha and then eat more. But that's, you can't play with brachos like that. Not everybody agrees with the Taz. I don't think most people agree with the Taz. But you see that you can't just throw brachas around in order to fix problems. There are other issues. Like, for example, I don't know, maybe somebody was at a simcha recently where they benched and then had dessert right afterwards. I don't know if anybody ever had that experience.
Never happens.
But there's reason to do that because, you know, people want to go. So you want to bench so that everybody can do it. You could choose not to bench. But anyways, it could be that you were going to make a bracha on the dessert. Anyways, even if it was during the meal.
This was the previous command. Right. You should make a bracha
on the dessert. Good thing to do. Exactly. Now let's continue. Here's some alternatives to Rashi. The Imre Noam. Anybody have any idea who this is? The Imre Noam over here? So the Imre Noam on Brachos is the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra on Brachos. There's a few different commentaries, different names. The Gra lived in Lithuania. 17th century, 18th century. Mao Shiyachzer Vivarach Perish Rashi, Acharachila Vishdiya, Mipirish Rashi, Nir Dishamafarish Kegeshe Gamar Siu Dato. We're talking about when he finished the meal. He's not eating anymore. When we buy, so not the Pnei Yehoshua. When we buy, im yavarech al ha'avar, kach pirash rashi, mashikatsav yachzor v'yochal, shum v'reich onodav. Return alam rashi, yaseh bracha levatala. Should you make another bracha stam? Pirash me'acha shekvar achal, lama yaseh bracha b'chinam? It's going to be just a lone bracha. Aval, Me'agamara mashma da'ibaya kai im nizkar ba'emza sudato. So he likes the Maharsha's way of reading it, that you make the bracha in the middle of the meal. V'ashta atishapir mashakas of hilkach afilu gamar sudato mashma de'mikara mai ba'emza suda. He's medayik in the words of Ravina. Because Ravina, he should be adding something to Gemara, right?
He didn't add anything.
But the way we were reading it first, he didn't add anything, right? Yeah. But the Gemara says he is adding. How is the Gemara saying he is adding? Because the Gemara says that the Gemara previously was talking about a case where you were in the middle of a meal. You were in the middle of a meal. So the question is, should you make a bracha before you continue eating the meal? What does Ravina say? Hilkach afilu gamar sudato. Afilu gamar sudato is Ravina adding a new point. Ravina is saying, not only do you make a bracha in the middle of the meal, you even make a bracha if you've already finished your meal. The beginning of the part of the Gemara was talking about if you were in the middle. And he said, look at the Marsha. And then he says, in fact, he thinks that the problem with Rashi is that Rashi did not have the word hilkach. And that's why Rashi had trouble with how to read the Gemara. He thinks that Rashi reads the whole shum business as going against Ravina. See, we have a lot of trouble reading our Gemara according to Rashi because of the word hilkach. Why do we have trouble? Because hilkach means that Ravina is saying, therefore, because of the aforegoing, this is what you should do. Except according to Rashi, Ravina is saying the opposite of what the conclusion was. Recap. Rav Chisda said, should you yachzor v'yivarech? The Gemara says, shum v'echo nodav. Rashi says that means it's a bracha levatala, you should not make a bracha. Right? Then Ravina says, hilkach afil gemar sudato yachzor v'yivarech. How does Rashi read this Gemara? He can't. Ravina's got a split personality with Rav Chisda. What's going on? What's happening? So what does the Gemara say? If we leave Rashi as is, then we have to say that Rashi did not have the word hilkach. And Ravina is simply disagreeing with the previous conclusion. Rav Chisda says you don't make the bracha, or whoever is responding to Rav Chisda is saying you don't make the bracha. Wait, is he Bailu Li Rav Chisda or Bailu Min? Good, it's Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda is the one who says that you don't make the bracha, and Ravina says you do make the bracha. That's how the Gra reads it. How does the Maharsha read it? Marsha just says Rashi never said Bracha Levatala. He never said that. It's a mistake. It's a Tarot Sofer. It doesn't belong in there. Right? So you have two different ways of reading, actually three different ways of reading Rashi. You have Rashi as it's written. Let's accept the Gra that the word Hilkach doesn't show up because you have to do something with that. You have the Marsha who erases Rashi. And then you have the Pnei Yoshua who said that Rashi is talking about making the Bracha and then eating more. But the problem is that the more that you're eating, you don't want. Okay? We'll skip the Tzlach. He says something very similar to the Gra.
Who is the Tzlach?
The Tzlach is, take a guess. So I'll tell you what it stands for. It stands for Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. I'll even tell you the other Sfarim he wrote. And let's see if you can get his first name. So this is one Sefer he wrote, the Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. Another Sefer he wrote is called the Dago Mervava. It's not going to help you. Another Sefer he wrote was the Noda B'Yehuda. And his first name is?
Yechezkel.
He didn't write anything with Yechezkel. Yechezkel Landau from Prague. He didn't write anything with Yechezkel in it. Tzion LeNefesh Chaya is written for his mother. Chaya is his mother's name. Dagon Mervava is just a pasuk in Shir Shirim. I'm not sure why it's called that. And the Noda B'Yehuda. I honestly skips my mind. It's either his brother or his father. I don't remember. Maybe somebody can look it up. I don't know. Whatever, he says something similar to the Gra at the beginning. He does quote an important rush, but we don't need the rush right now because we're going to see it in the Rambam. So what's the conclusion over here? Person eats food, finishes the food. What does he do now? Does he make a bracha? Rishona? Does he not make a bracha? Rishona? What does he do? So let's take a look at the Rambam.
It sounds like mainly you don't make a bracha unless you're in the middle of the meal.
So does the Gemara have a conclusion?
It's not like it's always in the Chalakos,
but usually, I mean, sometimes the Gemara has a conclusion.
The general sense seems to be if you're done, Don't make the bracha.
Zayis says don't. You say do. Why do you say do? Because Ravina says that, right? But then the Gemara rejects Ravina's proof when it says gavra delochazi hovi itchi itchi, that you missed your chance. So there's no conclusion. The Gemara has no conclusion. We have arguments back and forth, but no conclusion. No, there's no hilchata. There's no tiyufta. There's nothing like that. So we're left to the Rishonim to find out what to do. So the Rambam says, "Kol ha-brachot ha-elu im nistapek lo bahem, im birech ilo birech." If you're not sure if you made the bracha Rishona or not, "Eino chozer u-mevarech lo batchila v'lo basof." Bracha Rishona, bracha Achrona. You never, if you're not sure, if you're besafek, if you make it, do not make it. Okay. Now this is not our sogya. This is safek.
I just also, if you know for sure you didn't. If you know for sure you didn't make a bracha rishona, you finished eating.
That's what we're wondering.
Do you still make a bracha achrona?
That's a good question. Also, it's a good question. Yes, but that may be part of the sugya. Okay, so we're going to get back to that point.
The question: when you read the Gemara, Yatzer v'Yivarech, the Gemara doesn't clearly tell you whether it's a bracha rishona or achrona.
It doesn't. Right. But from the rishona that we've seen, it's pretty clear what they've said. You're right. So again, the Rambam says, all the brachot, Rishona and Achrona, if you're besafek, you do not go back and say them. Ibnei Shehen midivrei sofrim. No, we know off the bat, that's most brachot. There is one that's not like that, which is? Birkat Hatorah. The other one, though, the one that's for sure, Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon. If you're besafek, if you said Birkat HaMazon, you absolutely have to say Birkat HaMazon. But let's leave that one inside. Let's even leave out Ala Mechia, because that's also complicated. Let's say Barei Nefashot, Shehakol, Barei Minei Mizonot, Ala Eitz, Barbia Eitz, Barbia Adama, all of those. However, Shachach Vehichnis Ochle Letochviv below Bracha. No safek. You're for sure. You didn't make a Bracha, you ate. Ima Yumashkin Bolan. Oh, now what does the Rambam mean by that? Hold on. If you're eating fruit, that if you throw them out, then if you spit them out, they're going to get disgusting. That's Rav Yehuda. He accepted Rav Yehuda. Put it on the side of your mouth, and then eat them. If you can spit them out like a lollipop or like pulim, mafunim, then you spit them out and then you make a bracha, you put them back in. That's the Rambam. Raivid. This is assuming that you're not having any more food. He's talking about the drinking. What happens if you're in the middle of drinking, you had one sip of Coke, okay? You realize it's in your mouth right now. You realize you didn't make the bracha, but you have a whole cup of Coke left. What should you do?
Swallow.
And make a bracha and some more.
And drink
more. Yeah. Right? So he says, it says, get a spittoon. You spit out the cola. Elapolet. Umachason yesh b'malei piv mashkin im yovedu v'lo yenemem b'lo bracha. What's the big deal?
Got more in your cup, so you
don't have to. Yeah. Aval, you need it. You're thirsty. He tiru le balan. Velo yovedu. Vetovad gam kein habracha, and you're going to miss the bracha. Sharei gamar, sheim yiflot otam gam kein tovad shein lo yoter. So what does he say about what you do in that case? The Ravid?
You
drink it, and you don't make a bracha.
And you lose it. You lose that on the
bracha. You don't make a bracha.
If you were to spit it out, you'd in any case. Wouldn't
right. It appears that the Ravid, how is he reading the Rambam? What's the case that the Rambam is talking about?
Well, yeah,
this is what he thinks the Rambam means. He's not disagreeing with the Rambam. He's interpreting the Rambam. Or he's forcing his interpretation to the Rambam. In other words, when the Rambam says, "Ima yumashkin bolanu mevarech alein basof," what happens next?
He's just giving a scenario where there's an extra scenario.
What happens next? You drink more. You drink more. So then, now the Rambam's not so strange. You drink, you realize you didn't make the bracha. You swallow, you make a new bracha, and then you drink more. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam only in the sense that he says you should spit it out. Right? But what about the idea that is the Rambam, could the Rambam be saying anything else? So take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. On the other side of the page, who wrote the Kesef Mishnah?
Yosef
Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch. The Kesef Mishnah says, so the Kesef Mashkin Bolin Uvarech Alein Basof, Efshal Efarish Dvarav Shesover Sheinu Mavarech Bracha Rishona Ukedivir Rabbeinu Chananel, Lefichach Katav Shemavarech Alein Basof, Shemavarech Alein Bracha Chronen Bilvad. There was another interpretation of the Rambam.
There
was another interpretation of the Rambam that here the Rambam is actually talking about a bracha achrona. Mevarech aleihem basof. You forgot to make a bracha rishona, so you swallow it and you make a bracha achrona. But the Kesef Mishnah himself says v'yoter near lomar the mevarech bracha rishona. But I'll tell you honestly, it seems more likely that he's talking about a bracha rishona. Basof kamar dim lokin ahachi avalei lemeimar veinu mevarech ela bracha achrona bilvad. That's what the Rambam should have said. He should have said, and then you make only a bracha achrona. What was this business of mevarech alein basof? Vod, the bracha achrona kamar, maika mashman, pshita. And anyways, if the Rambam was just telling you you should make a bracha achrona on a drink that you drank, what? Of course you do. Why would you think that you wouldn't? Why would anybody think that they wouldn't? So Rabbeinu is sover, so the Rabbi Yosef Karo says, what he really thinks is, Shemavarech bracha rishonu l'basof, kedivre harosh. We didn't see the Russian side, but the Rush says this, for who sover, shem ein data lishtot yoter, havalei gemar, v'kaim lan dekol shek amar, einu chozer mevarech l'mafreya. V'nir shemiachar she'afshar l'faresh divir Rabbeinu, shem kedivre Rabbeinu chanan, tfeya divir sham ken. He said, but I'm not sure. Maybe we should go back to the original interpretation of this bracha achrona. Now, how do we explain the Rambam if he does mean a bracha achrona? Why does he have to say this?
Maybe the question I asked.
Which is?
You might think that if you missed the first one.
That's exactly what Rabbeinu Manoach says. Rabbeinu Manoach says, Rambam is talking about making a bracha achrona. Why does he need to tell us that you make a bracha achrona? Because you might think that if you don't make a bracha rishona, you don't make a bracha achrona. It's a sandwich. You can't get one without the other. Why would you think that? I don't know. But you might think that. The Rambam comes and tells you, not true. You can make a bracha achrona even without making a bracha rishona. Now we're going to get to why the Rush says what he says and why the Rambam might say it as well. But before we get there, so the Rambam elsewhere says, "Mishni stapek loim birech hamotzi or lo birech hamotzi, eno chozo mevarech mineisha eno mina Torah." That's hamotzi. Shachach lebarech hamotzi imnitzkar ad shelo gamar sudato chozo mevarech v'imnitzkar laachar shagamar eno chozo mevarech. Now the Rambam here clearly says something. What does he clearly say?
If you're still eating, keep mega bracha.
And if you're not eating,
you
do not. That's clear. So if we had any, you know, quibbles about what he says about after you finish drinking.
There's also the strange thing. On
oh, why?
Because there are not, from memory, there's a number of things. One is the fact that we hear. If you're the liquid is something you can put to the side of the mouth, and that there are different options about whether there's anything you take something new, whereas in the food it's I don't remember the quantities. Well, there's a few different things that are swirling around up there, but I don't remember.
Well, we're gonna see, but it seems like if we interpret the Rambam the way that Rav Yosef Karo wanted to interpret him, that he's talking about Baruch HaRishona, and not like the Ravid. He's talking about a case where he's finished eating. He's not going to eat anymore. And he's saying, you make a bracha rishona, like Ravina basically, make a bracha rishona after drinking, and you're not drinking anymore. Then why does he say elsewhere that if you're eating, and you're finished eating, and you forgot to make a bracha rishona beforehand, you should not make a bracha rishona? Why is there a difference between eating and drinking? You have to think about that.
And in the case, where you are told to make a bracha because you're continuing to eat, you're essentially not making a make a bracha for the food that you ate before. It's really for the food you're about to eat now.
Well, that's an easy one. Now we're saying, though, what if that's not true? What if you actually do make a bracha rishona after eating and you're not eating anymore? That's one way to interpret the Rambam.
No, but
that seems to be what the Rush says.
But the interpretation was, if you're done eating, you don't make a bracha.
That's true of the Ravid. But the Rambam, when he says, "Imayu mashkin bolan umavarech alein basof," what does he mean by that? He says, "Drink it if it's in your mouth, swallow, and then make a bracha rishona." Are you sure that he's talking about a case where you make a bracha rishona and then drinking more, or is he talking about a case where you finished eating? We're not sure.
I think if you had more, it would be clear.
That yeah, that, of course.
He doesn't have to mention
but it. But if you don't, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, except the difference is that if it's more, then you're really making the bracha on the new. You're not necessarily saying the bracha on the past. No, because it's not really a tikkun, it's just, you know, what's done is done, and now you have something more to make a bracha on the more.
Really,
you still,
it's not really literal. Not a chiddush.
It's not making it worse.
Which is not a chiddush, because you should make a bracha if you're still going to be eating.
Right. So that
learning Gemara,
the question right? is, how does he understand the back and forth in the Gemara, and how does it impact what he writes in the two different places? Now, before we look at the next source, two sources from here is the Rishimot Shirim of the Rav, is Rav Salvechik, which I actually just discovered is in version 26 of Bar Ilan, which is pretty cool. So he's going to explain kind of what Ami was talking about before a little bit about the underlying principles of Bracha Rishona and Brachos in general. But before we do that, I do want to quote anybody who heard me last night. One of my favorite Gemaras over here: Tanu Rabbanan Asur Lo LaAdam Shi'ana Min Olam Bezeb LaBracha. I make the same point again. Anybody the Gemara says on Lamed Hey, it says anybody who gets enjoyment from the world without making a bracha first, it's ki'ilu ma'al. What's ma'al? Mem Ayin Lamed. Lashon Meila. Meila is a masechet in Shas. And it means that you were makdish something to the Beit HaMikdash, and then you used it yourself.
Misappropriated.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was makdish my cow, and then I used it to work, or put it on the spit and ate it. That's called me'ila. So eating food in this world without making a bracha is like me'ila. Fine, scary, but I understand what it means. Then the Gemara says, that's a braita. The Gemara says, quote Shmuel, it says, oh, kol ha'nehne min olam hazeh v'lo bracha, kilu nehne mikodshei shamayim. It's like he got enjoyment from kodshim. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's me'ila. What's he adding? It's like I got hana from kodshim. And it goes on and it says, oh, how do you fix it? You make a bracha. Eating without making a bracha, it's like because ha'shamayim, Hashem ha'aretz umlo'ah, so everything belongs to Hashem. So Hashemayim shemayim laHashem, ha'aretz natan livnei adam. Before the bracha, everything belongs to Hashem. After the bracha, it's not kodesh shemayim anymore. You can have access to it. But what did he add when he said it's like kodesh shemayim? And then finally, to make things even more clear, I guess you have Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, who says kona enemin alam hazeh b'lo bracha kilu gozel lakadosh baruch hu umikneset Yisrael. So he added on that it's now stealing, and you're doing it both from God and from all of Bnei Israel. What's he adding? Okay, I get it. You eat food without making a bracha, it's bad, and it's somehow stealing. What are they all saying? So it suggests that the original thing, the Braita, says Me'ila. But Me'ila can be understood in two different ways. This is a Gush Torah. It's Brisker Torah. Me'ila can be understood in two different ways. What's the problem when you use a cow that was supposed to be for the Beit HaMikdash? So one possible problem is that you're stealing. You're stealing from God. It belongs to Hashem, belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, and you're using it for your own purposes, so you are stealing. It's Choshen Mishpat. Okay? Now, how do you fix it? You have to transfer ownership. You have to be poda, right? If I have Maiser Sheni, I have in my backyard, I have lemons from the first or second year, so I have to take that to Yerushalayim. Do I have to really take it to Yerushalayim? What can I do instead? I can be put there. I can get a coin and I can transfer it. So what happens when I do that?
I have to go to Yerushalayim.
They become mine. They become mine. I don't have to take them to Yerushalayim anymore. They're mine.
I have to take the money.
The coin I have to take to Yerushalayim, but the lemons become mine, right? So by making a bracha, I'm pode, it now becomes mine. I'm good. No longer stealing anymore. The other way of understanding me'ila in general is that it's not that I'm stealing, it's that I'm taking something that was supposed to be for one purpose, and I'm using it for another purpose. That's not choshen mishpat, that's iser v'heter. It's just asur. You're not allowed to take something that was meant for one purpose and use it for another. You can't steal from God. Even if you eat it, you're not stealing from Hashem. It's still His, you're His. Whatever's in your stomach is still belonging to God. You can't steal from God. It's
so
impossible.
Why does it say kilu gozel?
Oh. So what does Rashi say on the Gemara in Lamed Hey? So Rashi says something very strange. When it says Ki'ilu Gozel, I would have expected Rashi to say Gozel et ha'ochel. But Rashi doesn't say that. Maharsha does say that. He disagrees with Rashi. Maybe it ties in over here, maybe not. No. Rashi says Ki'ilu Gozel et ha'bracha. You're stealing the bracha. It's an amazing statement. By failing to make the bracha, you're stealing the bracha. From whom are you stealing the bracha? From Hashem and from Bnei Yisrael. So the Netziv explains, you're stealing it from Hashem because Hashem wants to bring bracha into the world. And how does he do that? By having Klal Yisrael make brachot on food. When you make a bracha on food, you bring the divine light into the world, whole Kabbalistic Torah. That's what happens when you make brachot on food. But if you fail to do that, then you have misappropriated the food. The food's purpose was to help bring light into the world, and you failed to do it by changing what the food was doing. And you stole from God, and you also stole from Knesset Yisrael, because by preventing the light from coming into the world, you cause a corruption to all of Klal Yisrael. They don't get the bracha that was supposed to come into the world. That's the other kind of me'ilah. So in my mind, the two Amaraim, Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, they're not saying the same thing as the Braita. They're explaining the Braita in two different ways. And I think those are two different ways of looking at bracha in general. Okay? According to Shmuel, the purpose of the bracha is technical. You need to get permission to eat the food. It's a matir. You need to get access to the food. The only way to get access to the food is to make a bracha. Once you make the bracha, you are allowed to eat it. According to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, the food is there for you to make the bracha on it. The bracha is the end in and of itself. There's a technicality. You cannot eat the food without making a bracha because it's the purpose of the food. That's why it's usher to eat the food without making a bracha. Because Hashem wants you to make brachas. To bring bracha into the world. The food is only the incentive to make the bracha. Okay. Now let's take a look at what the Rav has to say.
It almost goes back to the whole Chetz and Gavra issue. Is there an issue on that?
Here we're saying the Chefza is it would be stealing. Yeah. And the Gavra, yeah. Here we're saying. So let's take a look at what the Rav has to say. Ultimately, we have all kinds of brachot in life. Okay, you have brachat anen, and you have brachat hashevach, you have brachat mitzvot, you have all kinds of brachot. Within that, you have different themes. Okay, two of those themes might be that the purpose of the bracha is that it's a brachat hashevach, it's a way of praising Hashem, or the Rav is saying it's a matir. A matir is exactly what it sounds like. It's permission. You're getting permission to do something that would be otherwise asur. U'misugyata gemara asur la'adam lehanot b'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Mashma da bracha chala midin matir. So he says that based on the gemara in Lamed Hey that says kol ha'nehem in olam hazeh b'lo bracha ki lo ma'al, it seems pretty clear that the purpose of the bracha is to get permission to eat the food. That seems pretty clear. My whole Torah aside. The Rav doesn't have my whole Torah. I don't want to impose it on him. Pretty clear, simple conclusion from the Gemara and Lamed Hey is that the purpose of making brachos is to get permission to eat food, right? Because without it, it's like you're stealing. Umiidach misugin demukach debirchat anenin havinami chalad brachat hashavach wada. However, he says from our Gemara, from over here on Nun Aleph, it seems like a bracha is really birchat hashavach. Why? Diname to get the brachat anenin who had the chala brachat matir bilvad. The Rav is reading the Gemara like either Rashi, like Rashi, let's say, that the Gemara had a Hava Amina, at least, that you would eat food without making a bracha, and then you would make a bracha afterwards on the food that you just ate. Now, if the bracha is a matir, does that make any sense? No. In halacha, there's no act first and apologize later. There's none of that, right? Ask permission later, right? It's easier to apologize than to ask permission, right? So that doesn't exist. You can't ask for permission after you've already eaten the food. He says even more than that. It's not only a havamina. the way that he reads the Gemara. It's not only a hava amina, like an initial thought that we reject. He says, the way the Gemara seems to end, it's not that you're not allowed to make the bracha afterwards because there's no point. It's simply that, look, the time for making the bracha is before. But once you miss your opportunity, you missed your opportunity. But not because there's something essential in the bracha that you can't do it afterwards. It's just that there's a time for making the bracha. It's before, and you can't make the bracha after. But it's not because there's something fundamentally wrong with it, which means that we can still say it's a birchat hashevach.
It's not levatola
Well, once Chazal say that you shouldn't do it, then it's levatola in that sense. Yeah. Before the yesh bet dina bebirchat hanenin. So the Rav wants to argue that there are actually two aspects to every bracha. One of them that it's a matir, and the other that it's a bracha d'shabach. So it's both. Maybe, in my vort, you could actually fit that in, that's what Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa are saying. And they don't disagree with each other, they actually agree. And both of them are true. Vayin v'rambam, shachach v'ichnis ochlin l'toch piv b'lo bracha. U'midapasak b'mashkin d'bolea v'acharkach mevarech, v'vur shapasak d'yecholim levarech achar shtia. The Rav reads the Rambam is saying that you make the bracha after drinking and you're not drinking anymore. V'tzarchin d'besugim v'vur she'en mevarech achar achila. V'kasha ma'ishan d'mevarech she'achar achar shebala mashkin d'estimat d'shono mashma she'mevarech av v'she'en dato lishtot od mashkin. He says, the Rambam is saying, against the Ravid, the Rambam is saying that you make a bracha after drinking and you're not going to drink anymore. Against the way that the Gemara seems to read. He says, by the way, the whole idea that a birchat hanehenin is only a matir. Let's say we rejected everything we said before. No. The purpose of making a bracha for eating food is in order to get permission to eat food. Right? Well, then what's the connection to the bracha and tefillah? Is the bracha on tefillah asking permission to tovel?
Why are we putting that into the same category as...
Exactly. So then how does the Gemara make any comparison? The Gemara says that, Ravina says, that you're allowed to make a bracha hananin after eating food, a bracha rishona, after eating food, just like a ger can make a bracha on tefillah after coming out of the mikvah. That's his point, right? There is an alternative. There is the other option, which is the opposite, which he's going to suggest. It says the shani bracha the mitzvah she'en an chalot matir al chalot shavu goda. Ba'alma mishum kach shabim mevarch bracha the mitzvah af la'achar asiyat mitzvah. We understand why we make a bracha the mitzvah after doing the mitzvah because it's bracha the shavach. So shekid shani b'mitzvotav v'tivanu. You know, whatever. That's a berachat haShevach. Thank you, Hashem. Now he says, "Ubeemet." I put it in brackets. It's not in brackets in the book. Haor zaru apasach shem lo birach kodem shchita b'diavad yachol levarich al achar shchita. V'nir desover the berachat haMitzvos havim berachat Shevach v'adav ba'alma. Mishum hachi mevarich otan af acharei asiyat haMitzvah. In fact, the Or Zarua says you're allowed to make berachat haMitzvah after. Now we don't pask in this way. Like if you forget to say, on the tilat etro, on the tilat lulav, rather. You're done. You're finished. That's why we do the whole business with the pitom.
Upside down.
It's supposed to be over lasiatan. You can't make a bracha afterwards.
Possibly there's a distinction here also by achila because the function of the bracha rishon and the bracha achrona is different. And
correct.
Therefore, if he's making it afterwards, then he's effectively doing this. The function of what a bracha achrona is already meant to be.
But he's saying the wrong thing then. So then he should just make the bracha achrona. We're talking about making a bracha rishona.
Right.
The Rambam's saying though that let's say you finished your coke, now you're going to say shiakol, and straight afterwards you're going to say berina fashon.
Oh yes, it appears to be. But let's hold off on that last part of what you said. But yes, it does seem to be that way. Now let's just continue. Onam ayin b'divrei Rambam. The Rambam himself says b'divrei so from the var. This is, by the way, this is a classic Soloveitchik Rambam. He mentions this all the time whenever talking about brachot, and all the briskers do, and in NYU, you hear this all the time. They point this out. Kol hananeh b'lo bracha ma'al, the Rambam quotes, ukeshem shemavarchim ala anaya, kach mevarchim al kol mitzvah u mitzvah, v'achar kach yaseh otah. What did the Rambam do with that keshem? right? There's sometimes phrases in the Rambam that why you rabbis just use the word and we're supposed to know what they mean. Like ukeshem or lefikach. It's like the lefikach in the Rambam. I'm supposed to know what he's talking about when he says that. It's like in the ukeshem in brachos. I'm supposed to nod and say, oh yeah, the ukeshem in brachos. So this is the ukeshem. Ukeshem shemavarchem al hanaya, kach mevarchem al kol mitzvah umitzvah. What did the Rambam just do by saying that? What did he just do? He just made it that...
He made an analogy.
Yeah. And what's the analogy? That the bracha that I make on this cup of Coke is just like the bracha that I make on my tefillin in the morning.
So Birkat HaNein, he's making an analogy between Birkat HaNein and Birkat HaMitzvah.
Yeah, which is a surprising analogy to make. Not what I would have said. V'tzarech ber, b'hashrat HaRambam, u'keshem shemarachem ha'anaya, kach mevarachem ha'kol mitzvah mitzvah v'achar kach ha'aseh otah. D'maya kavanato b'hashvah zu. Hari HaRambam pasak lalan de mevarachem b'chad ha'mitzvah kodem la'asiyat ha'mitzvah. U'machi desh lan HaRambam kan, d'keshem shemarachem ha'anah, kodem she'ani b'chach mevarachem ha'mitzvah over la'asiyatan. Why does he make this connection? What's the purpose of it? V'asher nira mizeh de l'shitat HaRambam, chal isur la'asot ma'aseh mitzvah mibli melevarach aleha kodem la'asiyatan. He wants to say that, no, in fact, Birchat HaMitzvah is a matir. Surprising. Because you do not have permission to put on your tefillin in the morning before you make the bracha. Now, it's true that min HaTorah, there are no brachot. But the rabbi said you're not allowed to make to put on your tefillin without putting on the bracha, without making the bracha first. Now, what happens if you do? Okay, mishkafelech, you do. Keep the tefillin on, you continue with your life. But you're not allowed. You're not allowed.
If I don't happen to know the bracha for the tefillin, I'm still going to put on tefillin and daven.
Go find out the bracha. But yes, you're right.
If you learn it halfway through shachrit, would you say the bracha then?
On tefillin?
Uh-huh.
No. I don't think so.
You're still wearing it.
You're still wearing it for the rest of the time you're wearing.
You could take them off and then put them on. Maybe you could be mishamed. I think you'd have to take them off.
So while you were putting them on, someone was hacking you and you
right.
weren't sure if you said right. the bracha or not.
Right.
Why does he make that connection?
Who? The Rav or the Rambam?
The Rambam. About the Bruch HaZanenin and Bruch HaMitzvah.
Apparently that's how the Rambam understood it. So take a look.
But there's such a distinction.
So take a look, take a look, take a look. Kemo shechal isr le'anot me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. V'Rambam hishveh hanat ha'nefesh hanat ha'guf.
But they're dafka different, because Bruch HaZanenin is only when you're going to internalize something, take something in, affecting the guf. Whereas Bruch HaMitzvah is not... doesn't have that subjectivity.
There's hanat nefesh. You still get benefit from it.
You're doing it because it's a mitzvah. Whether okay. not benefit is irrelevant.
Oh,
the whole
the fact that it's irrelevant.
No, but,
okay, fair enough. I would have gone a different way. I would have said we hold mitzvahs lav lehanot nitnim. We don't get benefit from mitzvot.
Well, the whole idea of being is one of the whole things of Birchas Hanenim, which we have in brachas, is about the whole. Whether or not you can actually internalize it. But we have in Havdalah, right? The difference between them.
But ultimately, whether you feel it or you don't, you do get something out of doing mitzvot. That's what we believe. You do get something. Something happens, either to you or to the world or in Olam Haba.
It's because I can benefit from it.
You get Olam Haba.
The reason to brach mitzvah is not because I'm going to benefit, it's because I'm commanded to do it.
You're right, but you are getting. It's the same way as saying, I'm drinking orange juice now so I can take my medicine, right? Whether or not that's the reason you're drinking the orange juice, you still have to make a bracha on it. So you're doing a mitzvah, you have to do a mitzvah, that's the real reason you're doing it. But you are getting a benefit, so the Rambam says, you need a matir for that. I don't think the Rav had to even say this, I think you could have come up with other ways. He could have said, it's chutzpahdik to approach God with a mitzvah without making a bracha. That's how I would have guessed that he would have said something like that. But this is what he wants to say. The b'shavayu asur le'anot b'li bracha, u'birchat ha'mitzvah chalin midin matir kebirchat hanen. And now we can go back and understand the connection between Birchat HaNe'anin and the Birchat HaGer of Tevila. I would have thought that you're not allowed to make a... Are there any cases where you would ever make a bracha after doing a mitzvah? Oh, look, you have Tevilat HaGer. How is he allowed to do that? It's supposed to be a Birchat HaMatir, but he does. It appears that there is such a thing as asking forgiveness afterwards. That you can have a matir l'mafreya. Now, And I realize that the truth is that the Rav has gotten very complicated over here, because at the beginning he wanted to use this as a proof that there's a Birchat HaShavach aspect, and now he's reversing course, and he's suggesting that no, it's really all Matir, and apparently you could do Matir LaMafreya. I remember reading this piece and being confused at the end, which one is he going with, and I don't know. He's going with one or the other, he can't go with both. At least he can't prove both. And the Gemara concludes that no, only by the ger can you do this. The only reason why the ger can do it is because he cannot do the matir beforehand, so he has to do it afterwards. When you cannot do the matir beforehand, the person that you need to ask permission from is not available to you, so then you could do it afterwards. But as long as he was available to you beforehand, you can't do it afterwards. Just to conclude, the Rav goes on and he says, this explains the business with the mashkin, the difference between liquid and food. He wants to say, just read it quickly, medami mashkin leger, the mevarech acher etfila. Drink, I'm on the next page, drink is like the ger after the tefillah. Why? Just like by the ger, it's impossible to do it beforehand, so you have to do it afterwards. So too, the mashkin, once you put the drink into your mouth without a bracha, you're no longer chazi to mevarech alayhen. There's no way that you could possibly make a bracha on them, because if you spit them out, what will happen to the drink? You won't be able to drink it anymore. Because it's disgusting. It's got saliva in it. You can't spit it out and then drink that drink anymore. And then they'll go to the ibud. And as long as they're in your mouth, you can't make a bracha. Because you can't put it to the side of your mouth. Right? That's the Dimyon. The Rambam held that at the end of the Gemara. Listen to this. The Rav, he threads a needle over here. He says, the Rambam held that the answer the Gemara gives for why the Ger is able to do it, that he is unable to do it beforehand, only rejects the Svara for not making a bracha after eating. But not after drinking. Because after drinking, it's too similar to the Ger. Because you really can't make the bracha on, and under any circumstances, on the drink, not while it's in your mouth, and not once it gets out. So that's how he threads the needle over there. Now, before we dive into Marv, just want to get to some conclusions over here. So the Shulchan Aruch, okay? The Shulchan Aruch says, Shachach v'ichnis mashkin l'tochpiv b'lo bracha, bol'an v'ino mevarech aleihem bracha rishona. So Paskins like the Ravid and many others, Rabbeinu Manoach, if you're not going to drink anymore, you do not make a bracha rishona. The Rama, the Yeshamim and the Mevarech aleihem, the Chein Nira Iker, he even says, and look who he quotes, Harashba b'shem Ravid. So it's not a mistake, it's a different Ravid. Okay, the Ravid that we read didn't say this, because that's the Ravid of the Rambam. But there's more than one Ravid. This is a Ravid quoted in the Rashba. And he says the Rush, which we knew. And he says the Rambam. Okay, so that's why he says Nira Iker. Mishnah Berurah, interesting. V'chein Nira Iker, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'dat rov ha-poskim kedeh rishona she'eino mevarech. Rak bach ha-achorana. Im shata kashir v'chein yiskim al-yaraba. The Mishnah Berurah says, the minhag is not this way. The minhag is that we do not make a bracha rishona after drinking drink, if you're not going to have any more. And the Shar HaTzion, he says a bunch of things. He says, this is the way that, he gives a list of all the achronim that agree and say that that we don't make the bracha rishon afterwards because we follow Rashi, etc., etc. And I had on the bottom, interesting, also the Bar Ilan has now ha'arot the Rav El Yashiv. Rav El Yashiv also said that rov achronim say that we don't follow the Rama, we do not make the bracha afterwards. However, as the Mishnah Berurah says, the proper practice to do is to make a bracha rishona and be makbid to drink more. To get out of the rush. In other words, you should follow all opinions. If you miss saying the bracha beforehand for sure, the best thing to do is to make a bracha rishona and eat more and ignore whom? Ignore the one post that we said not to do that, which was the Bnei Yoshua. Bnei Yoshua says, maybe you're not really hungry anymore, maybe you're not thirsty, you have to be worried about that. But he says, don't worry about that. The Rav Yashu says, and the Rav Mishbura says, don't worry about that, have a little bit more to drink, and then you're going to be good.
Doesn't anybody look at the Chantas mitzvah?
you have to eat.
Yeah.
At least in order to be mevarech, but it's in the same language as ve'ahavta
et
Hashem Elokecha, ve'achalta v'sarata. It's the same language.
Shkoyach, everyone. I think next time we're going to do a little bit of advertising so that we get make sure that that people outside of the shul or people outside of the shul know about it, because people in Gath Yomi should be interested.
Are they still talking once in 2 weeks or once?